On Monday, President Biden announced new federal regulations on privately assembled firearms. Sometimes called ghost guns, they don't have serial numbers, and they're basically impossible to trace. Police around the country have reported seizing more and more of them from criminal use. The new rules aim to regulate home-built guns in similar ways to commercially sold firearms in an effort to cut back on black market distribution. We're learning more about the rise of ghost guns and what impact the new regulations could have. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about these gun kits, these so-called ghost guns? Are you glad to see the Biden administration trying to regulate them? Do you think the regulations went too far or not far enough? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Alex McCourt is an assistant professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at Johns Hopkins University's Bloomberg School of Public Health. He also works in the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions. Alex, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
As I understand it, Alex, these so-called ghost guns can come in a lot of different forms, different kinds of kits. Could you give us a broad stroke definition of what these things are and how they work?
Sure. So these guns are generally guns that lack serial numbers. This is distinct from the type of gun that is a traditionally manufactured gun that lacks a serial number because it's been obliterated. So these are guns that lack serial numbers by design. They could be constructed from individual parts. Those parts might be purchased separately, or they might be purchased as part of a kit, or they might be 3D printed. And those are the primary ways that these guns are made.
How common are these things? How available are these things now?
So we don't have very good data on this. It's very difficult to track gun ownership and use in general. And that's even more true for these guns that are, by definition, untraceable. What we do know from both federal data, federal reports, and law enforcement data is that use of these guns seems to be increasing. And that could be because they're very available. It's very easy to order these online, and really anybody is able to do it.
How easy are these to assemble? I've heard it's not like snapping together a Lego kit, but it's easier than, you know, building a firearm from raw materials.
Yeah, that's about right. It's not as simple as Legos or really probably many different hobbies, but it is pretty straightforward. There are some that advertise being able to be constructed in 30 minutes or less. But really, even if it takes several hours or a day, that's pretty quick to be able to go from having just the component parts to having a functioning firearm.
So here we have the Biden administration looking to have these new regulations. Here's a clip from his announcement back on Monday.
All of a sudden, it's no longer a ghost. It has a return address. It's going to help save lives, reduce crime, and get more criminals off the streets.
What in these new requirements would require that kind of return address, that equivalent of a serial number that would be on a firearm that you would traditionally buy?
So what this rule would do is bring these guns in line with your traditional gun. So traditionally, when a gun is recovered by law enforcement, it has a serial number and some other markings on it. And law enforcement and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, ATF, can use that information to figure out who the manufacturer is and trace it from there. Where did it go for retail sale? And from there, who was it sold to? And the goal, obviously, is to get to the person that ultimately used the gun in crime. Right now, these guns are untraceable, these ghost guns or these privately made firearms. What this rule would do is require that these kits or these individual parts have serial numbers on them. That would mean that when a gun that was made from a kit was recovered by law enforcement, it would be traceable.
Now, I could see a various group of people being interested in this. One, maybe just a firearms, a home hobbyist who, you know, like some people like to build computers for kits. They think, yeah, I'd like to make my own gun from a kit. All the way over to people who want untraceable guns for very specific criminal reasons. Do we know much about the market and who's buying these things?
We don't know very much about it. We do know that there have been very high-profile uses of this uses of these guns and these kits in gun trafficking and also in some mass shootings, including school shootings. There have also been individuals that told law enforcement that they specifically sought out these guns because they had no other way of accessing guns because they were prohibited from buying a traditional gun. However, there are some people who just like to build guns at home and they like to engage in that as a hobby. Importantly, the rule that was put out is really clear that this doesn't do anything to stop you from making your own gun at home. It has more to do with the serial numbers that are on these specific kits and who can sell those and manufacture them, and what licensed dealers and licensed manufacturers can do with those. So there's still nothing stopping someone from building their own gun for personal use.
We're talking to Alex McCord from Johns Hopkins University with the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions, looking at these gun kits that allow people to build guns at home, of various paths to get there. As we've heard, new regulations from the Biden administration aim to treat them more like existing commercially sold guns, including requiring identifying serial numbers. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe if you've made one of these, ordered one of these yourself. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. We'll bring on a caller now. Hans is with us in Kaukauna. Hans, hello.
Hello. I wanted to mention that criminals are criminals by definition. They're already breaking the law. All those who do it make criminals of people who are often will make criminals of people who are not criminals, restrict the rights of people. And the thing about it, I just don't see where it's going to help anything prevent crimes, because bad people are going to do bad things. We really have to go after the motivation of the criminals, go after. We're not even forcing the laws we have in place. It's another law that's going to be restrictive to good people.
Well, Hans, I want to get your thought on this. The idea, at least the argument from the Biden administration, is this is taking the existing laws that apply to something you might buy, like at a traditional firearm store, and just applying it to this kind of new science fiction category of guns. Do you think that's okay, or do you worry about that?
Well, part of the reason that some people I know have built these things is because as soon as there is a serial number on it that has to be registered through a federal firearms license dealer, that gives a place for people to confiscate, for the government to confiscate the firearms of the people. Many people that I know in the culture want these to prevent confiscation of their firearms, because part of the reason people have firearms is to protect from both domestic and foreign enemies, and that's a true thing. And a domestic enemy can be our own government if they become, even Donald Trump. I said, who's going to protect your First Amendment rights if you don't have your Second Amendment rights in place?
Hans, thanks for the call. Alex, I think Hans pointing toward a motivation, as he said, from people, the culture he was referring to there, wanting non-traceable guns to prevent government confiscation. What do you think of that argument?
I think it's really fascinating, and it's not a, it's an important argument to consider. I think it's also incredibly common that when the ATF put out its proposed rule, it got hundreds of thousands of responses, and many of them were very similar to what Hans said. There's this concern that this will make criminals out of people that are law-abiding citizens, and it will affect their right to have a gun in the home for self-defense. Importantly, I think there's this idea of criminals that criminals will be criminals and they'll be able to access guns. But what we're seeing is actually many law enforcement agencies that are reporting increases in these guns are in states that have particularly strong gun laws. And these gun laws, like purchaser licensing and extreme risk protection orders, make it more difficult to get a gun for someone who is at high risk of harming themselves or others. So maybe that's somebody who has a criminal history, or maybe it's just someone who is at risk of self-harm. But when they're not able to access a gun, they are able to access these kits. There's no background check requirement, and the prohibitions at the federal and state level don't kick in for these kits. As a result, we see people who have violent felony convictions, domestic violence convictions, and even children that are able to get these kits and construct guns.
Hans, thanks for that call. We're talking about so-called ghost guns, these home gun construction kits and new Biden administration regulations with Johns Hopkins University public health professor Alex McCourt. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this concept new to you? Do you have questions about how it works, or are you very familiar with it? Have you ordered and assembled one of these firearms at home yourself? What do you think of the idea of regulating them, requiring serial numbers on these homemade guns or home assembled guns? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Professor Alex McCourt from the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Prevention. With us today to talk about home-built firearms, known as ghost guns by some, as the Biden administration starts implementing new regulations requiring them to have serial numbers, among other things. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about these home gun kits? Are you worried about them, or do you think they're a good idea? What do you think about the idea of regulating them a little more like existing firearms? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go back to your calls now with James in Fall Creek. Hey, James.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, James?
Well, there's a couple of points that should be brought out, and I'm speaking for the state of Wisconsin. In the past, there have been many, many, many guns that without serial numbers that were produced. They were standard shotguns, Winchester Model 37, for example. All of the Stevens guns, they didn't have serial numbers. And then on top of that, in Wisconsin at least, where we have the right to transfer a gun to a private individual, or to a private individual, there is no actual tracing of serial numbers. If you go to a gun show in Wisconsin, you can purchase a gun. It may have a serial number, but that gun is not tracked.
Got it. James, thanks for the call. Alex, James pointing toward some gaps in serial number and serial number tracking with existing guns. Forget, you know, even setting aside the so-called ghost guns for the moment.
Yeah, James is absolutely right that there are many private sales where serial numbers are not tracked. And so this is often a stumbling block for law enforcement, but also arguably a protection for some individuals who like to privately transfer their guns and are not dealing with federally licensed dealers. And this rule would not change that. So if somebody made a gun from a kit that had a serial number on it and then transferred it in a private transfer, as long as they're in a state that does not regulate those private transfers, that is just like a traditional gun. So these are not special rules for privately made guns, but are rather just bringing them in line with all other guns.
James, thanks for that call. We got an email from Matt in Madison who says, one of the reasons they caught the shooter in New York City so quick is because they could trace the purchase to a 2011 purchase, the firearm. The fact that ghost guns even exist is a testimonial, he says, to the right's dismissal of any gun management. I will say I'm following this story in the news just like everybody else. Alex, I don't know the exact details of what led to the apprehension there, but the traceability of the firearm used, I know that is part of the story here.
Yeah, I'm in a similar position that I don't know the details, but I had heard that it was a gun that was not a ghost gun that had a serial number. And I think when guns are recovered that have serial numbers, it can be an important tool for law enforcement to try to investigate who was behind an act of violence. And it can also help identify individuals who were involved in straw purchases and gun trafficking.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Nate is on the line in Monona. Hi, Nate.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I see no reason not to have serial numbers on every gun that's produced. The majority of people who are doing that are people who are trying to avoid the law. Those people are a threat to everybody in society. So there's, and these are, all these arguments are bogus. Somebody who wants to make guns, they can make guns regardless of whether they got a serial number or not. The argument about Stevens guns, those are old antique guns. I don't even know if Stevens is still manufacturing guns.
I gotcha, Nate. Thanks for the call. Nate, seeing the main purpose of these non-serial numbered ghost guns, Alex, being for people with bad intent. As you say, we don't necessarily have the numbers on that, but there is that concern.
Absolutely, there is that concern. And because we don't have data, it's difficult to say whether that is the primary motivation for purchasing these kits or manufacturing these guns. But it certainly makes a lot of sense that individuals who want to get a gun and want to make sure that nobody knows they have it and that it can't be traced if they lose it or discard it after using it in a crime, these guns are appealing for those individuals.
Thanks for that call. We are talking to Alex McCord from the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Prevention, looking at home gun kits, gun making kits, sometimes called ghost guns, new Biden administration regulations, trying to give them the similar serial numbers to firearms you might buy at a gun store. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Kathleen is on the line now in Delavan. Hi, Kathleen.
Yeah, hi. I'll stay right up front. I have no understanding of how people with the frontier mentality of the right to own guns with no restrictions or registration, how they justify that, because the concern of them, this mass federal task force going door to door, taking guns when we're losing 45,000 people a year due to guns, so that's nearly 500,000 in 10 years. I just don't understand how that equates. That's my only comment.
Kathleen, thanks for the call. Alex, can you talk about the toll of gun violence? And Kathleen doesn't seem to worry about door-to-door gun confiscations being likely.
Yeah, gun violence is a massive problem, especially in the United States. Compared to peer nations, the U.S. has a disproportionate rate of firearm violence. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, we've seen big increases in firearm homicide. And I think it's really important in this conversation when we're talking about these guns to again underscore that they undermine a lot of the kind of policy solutions that we have put in place in certain states that try to reduce gun violence and try to keep guns away from those at high risk of harming themselves or others. In terms of going door to door and taking guns, that is a common fear among some gun owners. There are protections in place, however, laws that prohibit the creation of a federal registry of guns. So there's no indication that would ever happen. And in fact, there is a Second Amendment right to own a handgun in the home for self-defense, provided you're not prohibited from possessing.
Thanks for that call. John joins us now in Madison. John, hi.
Yeah, I used to own a gun. I sold it. I think guns are very good for hunting. You want to carry a sidearm with you. You wound an animal and it's you're hunting, you shoot it. I think really what comes down to is the gun manufacturers want to scare people into buying guns. They give millions of dollars to politicians to help them support. If they don't sell guns, they're out of business. They want to scare people to buy guns, and politicians help them scare people.
John, thanks for the call. What do you think, Alex?
You know, it's interesting. There is some research that has shown that in times of high stress or high, kind of fear in society, purchases of guns increase. And we actually saw record-breaking gun purchases during the first year in 2020 of the COVID-19 pandemic, as people were feeling less safe, less sure about everything, and many of those purchases were first-time gun owners who felt the need to go buy a gun. So there is something to be said for fear being a driver of gun ownership.
Thanks for that call. Alex, in our last minute or so, we have these regulations announced. There is a process. When would these come into effect? And when do you see them starting to be enforced? Or is there likely to be a big legal challenge? We might not see this in place for a while.
So the rule should go into effect in about 120 days. So about 4 months, we'll see it go into effect. That said, there will almost certainly be a legal challenge that legal challenge could originate in many different areas. It could be a constitutional challenge. It also could be a challenge to ATF's authority. Experts, I think, generally agree that there is not a very firm basis for many of those legal challenges, but we are certainly going to see them. But provided there is no holdup in the courts, this regulation should go into effect this in about 4 months.
Alex, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Alex McCourt works in the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions and is an assistant professor in the Department of Health, Policy, and Management. He joined us for a look at these so-called ghost guns, guns that can be made or assembled from kits, and new proposed regulations announced this week by the Biden administration that would treat them like commercially available firearms, especially as regards identifiable serial numbers. Still time for you to share your thoughts. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR.